Amen. Thank you for that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to continue our study through the letter to the church of Corinth this morning. And we're going to learn about the increase of God. We want to increase with the increase of God. We're talking about these young people earlier that were born again at camp, and that's just the beginning, right? When someone is saved and they're baptized, they begin their walk with Christ, the finish line isn't to get them to be a good church member. The finish line is when we see Jesus. That's the finish line. And so this is just the starting blocks, getting started. And when someone's born again, they're a new creature in Christ, they're babes in Christ, and they're supposed to grow. And there ought to be an expectation among all of those who are saved that there is growth, that there is increase. And so that's what we're going to learn about today. Remember this letter to the church at Corinth, Paul was addressing a lot of their problems. They were carnal and they were confused. They were dealing with a lot of carnality. In other words, it wasn't that they weren't saved, but they were saved, but they weren't walking in the power of the Spirit. They were still walking in the ways of the flesh. And we need to put off the flesh and put on the Spirit and move forward in our walk with Christ. And so it's a convicting letter. And we need to examine our own hearts as we look to the scriptures. So let's pray together, and then we're going to begin. We're going to take this chapter in three parts this morning. And again, we're going to try to move quickly. We're just trying to get the bird's-eye view. We're not going to look at all the little details. You're going to need to study this out on your own in between. But we're going to try to kind of do a flyover and highlight some of the high points, some of the landmarks that we might see as we fly over. Does that make sense? You understand? So that's what we're going to try to do as we study this letter. Let's pray. Merciful Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather, to pray together, to study the Word of God together, to worship you and sing your praises together. Lord, we're just blessed to be able to have this time. And Lord, we pray for those who are not able to be here today. We pray for you to heal those who are sick. We pray for your comfort for those who just can't get out. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling that you'll watch over and bless them and bring them back safely the next time we come together. And Father, I just pray that as we've gathered today, that your Spirit is moving among us, that we would have softened hearts today, that we would have ears ready to hear from you and a willing heart and mind ready to hear and obey your commandments. Father, please help us to love you, that we would keep your commandments and they wouldn't be grievous to us, but we would love you and we would serve you. Lord, anyone hearing this message today who's never genuinely been born again, I pray that you would bring them to repentance and faith even now, Lord, that they would hear and believe the gospel, that they would turn away from their sin and unbelief and repentance, and that they would trust with all their heart in Christ who died for them and rose again. And Lord, we pray for your will to be done in our lives. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not yet carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Let's stop right there, verses 1 through 9, and see the first point today is that we need to grow up. We need to increase in wisdom, in contentment, in unity, in labor, in growth, and in building. We need to understand that ministry and the labor of the kingdom is by him, it is for him, and it is through him. Amen. that what growing up that happens, it's all the work of God in our lives. It's not we ourselves that do it. In verses 1 through 3, he tells us we need to grow up. He says there's envy and strife and division. And then he equates that envy, strife, and division with carnality. He says, are you not yet carnal? How do I know that? Because there's envying, there's strife, and there's division. There's jealousy. There is fighting against each other. There is separation within the church. And that's how Paul said, I know you're carnal because those things exist in the church. I know you're walking in the flesh. So what does that tell us? It tells us that if we are walking in the Spirit and we're not being carnal, that there won't be envying and strife and division within the body. It tells me that when we're spiritually minded and spiritually motivated, that when we do things together as a church, there won't be division and envy and strife. We won't have jealousy. We won't have arguments and fighting, but we'll have unity and we'll be together in our efforts to grow the kingdom and to help one another. As you grow in spiritual maturity, your life will be marked by less and less envy. As you grow in spiritual maturity, your life will be marked by less and less strife, by less and less division, anger, arguing, cliques, offenses, fights, conflict, jealousy, and all those things like that are going to decrease as your spiritual life increases. Now, let me just ask you, how many of you have had times in your life when it was just full of strife and division? Anybody ever had that? Have you ever experienced that in your family? Where everything's just always a fight, there's always an argument, there's always this tension, and all of these just kind of under the surface, just always this anger. Anybody ever experienced that in your life growing up? You ever had a workplace that was like that? You ever had some friends at school that were like that? They're just always arguing, always fighting, always bickering. There's never peace. That's carnality. That's living in the flesh. And the more we walk in the Spirit, the less those things will exist in our lives. Have you ever experienced that change? Have you ever seen it in a family that had a lot of fighting and bickering and all that nonsense all the time, arguing, where people started walking with Jesus and those things went away and there became a peace and a harmony and a joy that existed in your life? Isn't it beautiful? Listen, deep down in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet is a desire to have peace in their lives. But listen to me, friends. Peace cannot be manufactured by people. People cannot make peace. There is the Prince of Peace, and he is the source of all peace, and peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit and growing in the Spirit, you're not going to have that kind of peace. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat because you weren't able to hear it. You weren't able to bear it. You weren't able to take it. What's he saying? I have to keep treating you like babies because you won't grow up. Amen. We take a baby and we give them milk. And when they get a little older, you start giving them food, solid food, right? Amen. And isn't that fun? And it's so much fun. I saw a video of a little baby the other day. I don't know how old he was, maybe a year old, something like that, 6 months, somewhere in there. Not very good with that, but a little guy. But it was the first time he had ever had ice cream. And the look of pure joy that came over his face. You know, because there's a little delay. You know, he licked the ice cream, and there was a little bit of time before all the processes happened in his brain, and his eyes got so big, and he was like, wow. He's like, give me more, right? So much fun giving kids stuff. Of course, I was the other way, too. Like, I like watching them try green beans for the first time. The look is different. First time you give them a pickle. That's fun, too. Still that same delay, but the reaction's completely different. Listen, we know that when a child is growing up properly, there comes a time when they move from the milk to solid food. And he said, I want to give you solid food, but you can't take it. Listen, if you take a two-week-old and try to feed him steak, it's not going to go well. They can't bear it. They can't take it. They can't digest it. Their body is not equipped to deal with it. And as babes in Christ, there are some things that are hard, but they're necessary. You can't just stay on milk for the rest of your life. Sooner or later, you need to have some solid food. And Paul said, and listen, remember, he was there for a year and a half. He's been gone for some time. He's like, I was there. I taught you in the Word. I was daily preaching and teaching you the truths of God. And you should be able to take some meat. But I can't because you're babes in Christ. Because you can't grow up. Because you're carnal. Because you're walking in the flesh instead of growing in the Spirit. So what's the takeaway? Grow up. Grow up. If you feel it in your heart every day, this bitterness and anger and strife and envy, and you're struggling with that in your life as you look at other people in the church and other people in your life, and you've got those things in you, you need to get on your knees before God Almighty and say, God, help me. Deliver me from this fleshliness. Deliver me from this carnality. Help me to walk in the Spirit. And if you will do that, he will help you. He'll help those who want to grow up. He'll help you grow up. So ask him to help you. And where does this growing come from? He said, I could not speak unto you. What's he trying to give him? Like pop psychology? What's he trying to give him? His opinion? What's he trying to give them? The latest political problems of the day? No, he was speaking to them the word of God. And so if you have those envying and strife and those divisions in your heart, you get on your knees and say, God, deliver me from these carnalities. Deliver me from my flesh. And then you get in the Word of God and hear it. Amen. And hear it. Hear it every day. I was so proud of some of our young people, and hopefully everybody made a commitment, but some of them wrote down some commitments to get in the Word every day, and they brought them to me. They were challenged by the speaker to bring them to their pastor or sponsor and say, I want you to hold me accountable because I want to be in my Bible every day. And listen, if we got some young people that will do that, their lives will be dramatically different. It's going to change them. You know what? It would change you too. Get in the Word every day. So grow up. Grow up and remember today that God is the one who gives the increase. Where was their division? Remember, he already dealt with this. One says, I'm of Paul. One says, I'm of Apollos. He says, I know by that alone that you're carnal. Verse 4. And then he goes on to verse 5 and says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers. But ministers by whom you believed. When Paul used this word ministers, this is a unique word in the Greek, and it's the word that was used to describe the lowest slave in a galley ship. These were the lowest of the low slaves in a ship of rowers. They were the ones who were in the worst place, in the worst conditions, with the worst job imaginable on a ship. And listen, who is Paul? Is he not an apostle of Christ? Who is Apollos? Is he not a faithful man of God, an eloquent speaker, a powerful preacher and teacher of the Word of God? But Paul says, no, we're not up here, we're down there. I'm nothing but the lowly slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we are nothing, but God used us to bring you the gospel so that you could believe. He gave us the ability to bring you the gospel. He gave you the faith to believe. And he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the increase. So, verse 7, the guy who plants, he's not anything. The guy who waters, he's not anything. But God who gives the increase, he is everything. Aren't you thankful that we get to be involved? We get to have a part. He that plants and he that waters are one. Jesus said to his disciples that one sows and another reaps. He says you're going to enter into other men's labors. He says that you're going to reap where others have sown, and you're going to sow where later others will reap. And we saw that played out this week. Young lady who went to camp with us was born again, and I had the privilege of being the one who got to talk to her and hear her pray and ask Jesus to be her Savior. Do I get any credit for that? Absolutely not, but God does. Well, listen, I was just there for that moment. Other people had talked to that young lady and preached the gospel. Other people had taught her in her classes at camp. Other people had preached the gospel to her. Others had gone to her individually and talked to her about Christ. And I'm just trying to tell you that many people planted and watered. Everybody worked together. Why? Because we're one. Amen. Because it's not us, it's Christ working in us. And some of you get discouraged sometimes because you don't see that fruit. You don't see them pray that prayer. You don't hear them make that decision. But I'm telling you that if you ever give someone the gospel, you have a part in that. The Spirit of God, the Word of God working through you. So don't be discouraged. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep planting. Keep sowing the seed. Keep watering it with prayer. Continue to do the work. Because we're doing, friends, is we're doing our part. Until he gives the increase. You say, well, when's he going to do that? I don't know. How long did it take with you? Hey, how many times did you have to hear the gospel before you got saved? Some of you stubborn people. I mean, the Lord made you to be a Baptist because you were stubborn even before you got saved. Amen? Come on. Some of us heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over. I just know that for most people, it's not the first time you hear it. And God's allowing different people to work, different people to be involved. Remember, it's God who gives the increase. The carnal man, he's man-focused. But the spiritual man is God-focused. The spiritual man has humility. The spiritual man gives God the glory. The spiritual man, because he is humble and because he gives God the glory, he is used by God. Did you see it? Paul said, we're nothing, but he also said, I planted and Apollos watered and God gave the increase. God still used them. Now, I don't know why God chooses to use people like us to accomplish his purposes, but he does. And so he's going to use those who are spiritual. One plants, one waters. Neither are anything, but God gives the increase. I know it's so cliche, I probably shouldn't even say it, but it really is true. Teamwork makes the dream work. Amen. Teamwork makes the dream work. And God has put us together in a body. He's put us together in a team to do the work together. He never intended any of us to do this work alone. He wants us to work together. That's why he assembled us. The church is an assembly. He's assembled us. He's called us out of the world. He's called us out of various walks of life. He's called us out of various life stages, but he's brought us all together to do this work together. Every one of us have a part. Vacation Bible School is a week from tomorrow. Just to be honest with you, man, I'm not ready. Like, it feels like it should be like another month or two away. Like, this year is just flying by. They all do, but you know what? We are praying for souls to be saved. Amen. We're praying not only for kids to hear and believe the gospel and be saved. We're praying for families to be reached with the gospel. I mean, we want to get the gospel to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, whoever is involved in these children's lives. We want to see families come to Christ. And we can. We can. Do you people believe it? You believe that we can have this thing of Vacation Bible School and we can have all the fun decorations and games and all the different things that we do, but we can preach and teach the gospel to kids and we can preach and teach the gospel to their families and people could actually be born again by our efforts? You believe that? And here's what's crazy about it. It's everybody can have a part. You say, well, I can't do much, but you can share it on Facebook and reach your circle of friends there. You can hand out some gospel tracts and invites as you go around your week. Man, surely most of you will probably end up at El Toro at some point this week. Where else are you going to go? Most of you are going to end up at the Sonic at happy hour, the good kind of happy hour, the Christian's happy hour. Come on, people. And it's always happy hour in the app. Amen. See, some of you know. Listen, you can give out an invite to Bible school as you go through this week. Here's a crazy idea. Some of you could cut your nap short, and you could be here at 3 o'clock today, and we could all go out and canvass our community. Some of you are like, listen, preacher, I appreciate what you're saying, but you don't understand how bad I need my nap. Listen, I've been at church camp this week. Don't tell me about how much you need a nap. Well, hear it. There's no tired like church camp tired. See, so many people know. You could be here at 3 o'clock. You say, well, listen, Brother Isaac, it's hard enough for me to walk from the car to the door. That's all right. You drive. You can drive. There's a bunch of these little people. They got all kinds of energy. What better way for them to use their energy to drag them up here at 3 o'clock and let them run from house to house, putting door hangers out? I know some of you think it's crazy, like I've never done anything like that before. But you know what? The first time I did, I'd never done it anything like that before either. I know that's deep theology. Try to process that. Come and help us. Don't you want people to come? Amen. Well, they're not going to come if they're not invited. And if they're not going to be invited unless we invite them. And everybody can have a part. And I want you to have a part. I want you to know that, listen, I hung a door hanger in a neighborhood, and because of that, a child came and they trusted Christ. Amen. And what if you didn't hang the door hanger? It matters. It matters. And we're not doing it alone. Look at verse 8 and 9 again. He that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So he's using a couple of different analogies. He's using the vine dresser, the gardening analogy, planting and watering, and now he kind of switches his analogy to building, and he does that a lot in the scriptures. He uses the picture of the vineyard, of the planting and the wheat and the sowing and the reaping. He uses the picture of the building, the foundation that's laid and the building that's built. And both of these analogies, we understand either way, we see an increase, we see a growth, we see a building up, we see grow up. Grow up spiritually. Grow up. Increase in wisdom. Increase in contentment and in unity and in labor and in growth and in building. So we do it all together. We're growing up together. Now, I wanted to spend some extra time on this first section. We'll move a little bit quicker now. Look at verses 10 through 15. Not only do we need to grow up, we need to build up. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which has given me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is, what's the foundation? Is there any other foundation? There is life in none other name than the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus. That you can't have life without Jesus. I told you I was trying to encourage some of our young people in reading their Bible, and I was texting with one of the young men last night. He told me what he read. I shared some of those scriptures after this because, man, it just hit home. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, he says that we have seen the life. Amen. He says life was manifested because life is in Christ. He said this is that eternal life. Amen. Jesus Christ is life manifested. He is life eternal. And when you have seen Jesus, you've seen life. There's not life in anyone else. Amen. He's the foundation that has to be laid, is Christ alone. So when you are born again, the foundation is laid. You're brought up out of that miry pit and you're set on the rock to stay. Amen. And you shall not be moved. Christ, your foundation. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day of the Lord, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, here's the picture that he gives us. Remember, we've moved from a gardening analogy to a building analogy. And the foundation is Christ. He is the chief cornerstone, and you build on your life what you do in your life. And one day, your works are going to be tried by fire. And here's the picture that he gives us. When you walk in the Spirit, when you live your life doing things in the power of God for the glory of God, that's precious stones. That's gold and silver, things that cannot be burned up. Everybody with me? But when you walk in the flesh, when you're carnally minded, when you're doing things in the flesh, not in the power of the Spirit, not for the glory of God, everything you do in your life that's self, that's inward, that's carnal, that's fleshly, everything you do, that's wood, that's hay, that's stubble or sticks or chaff, Everybody with me? The fire is going to consume all of those things that are done in the flesh. Everything you do in the flesh is going to be burned up. Everything you do that's not to the glory of God is going to be burned up. And so every single day we make choices to build. Every decision that you make to either walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh is going to determine your rewards in glory. And your rewards in glory will have an impact on how much your life brings glory to Christ. Amen. It's never going to be about us. You good with that? Because I'm real good with that. I don't want it to be about us. Amen. I don't want it to be about me. Even our rewards are talked about as crowns. The crown of life and the crown of glory and the crown of rejoicing. All of the crown of righteousness, these different crowns the scriptures speak of. But the only picture we have of crowns in heaven that the saved have, they lay at the feet of the Savior. Amen. Our rewards are for His glory. So number one, we need to grow up. Number two, we need to build up. We need to increase in kingdom work. We need to do business with eternal consequences. We have to first make sure that our life is founded on Christ alone, and then we need to build carefully. Build carefully. Look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If you've repented of your sin, and you are trusting in Christ alone as your Savior, that foundation is laid and will never be removed. What's that mean? It means that even if you, almost all the decisions you make in your life after you're saved are carnal and not in the power of the Spirit, you are still saved. Isn't that good news? But let me ask you a question. Does that motivate you to walk in the flesh? Knowing that you could get away with it? Like, hey, it really doesn't matter what I do. As long as I'm trusted Jesus, I get to go to heaven anyway, so it doesn't matter how I live my life. Does anybody think that way? Because I'm of the opinion that if the Spirit of God is in you, you can't think that way. Amen. The fact that He's going to save me anyway doesn't motivate me to not want to live for Him. It motivates me to live for Him. Knowing that He's going to keep me no matter what, knowing He has me in His hand and the Father has me in His hands, and no matter what I say or do or think, He still loves me and He still keeps me and I still have eternal life. Amen. That doesn't make me want to just depart from Him and go back to the flesh. It makes me want to love Him and serve Him more and bring Him more glory in the day that He comes again. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This judgment is about rewards. This judgment is not about the gift of eternal life. Eternal life is a free gift. It cannot be earned. But we can gain rewards to the glory of God. Verse 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You are the temple. This building is not the house of God. Amen. But you are. And we want to make sure that we live in a way that glorifies Him. Grow up. Build up, and lastly, wise up. Verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. What's that mean? If you seem to be wise in a worldly sense, then be a fool to the world, so that you can have real wisdom. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are in vain. Those of you who are taking notes, you can write down Job 5:13. Eliphaz the Temanite says, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. You can also write down not only Job 5:13, but write down Psalm 94:13. Psalm 94:13. That thou mayest give him rest for the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. He points to these scriptures to remind them that these are biblical truths. These are God's truths. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Look at verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are in vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. God has given us all things in Christ. The truth is, I wish I had another 3 weeks to preach these couple of verses. And I plead with you to study these things out. Remember, there's division. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. And he says, listen, stop being divided because you have everything in Christ. Everything. All of the wisdom and knowledge that Paul gave you or Apollos gave you or Cephas gave you, it's yours. The world is yours in Christ because he's coming again and you're going to reign with him. The new heavens and new earth, you're gonna rule and reign with Christ. He's made you part of his kingdom. Life is yours. You have conquered death by faith in Jesus. The things that exist today are yours. The things that are to come are yours. Everything is yours because you are a joint heir with Christ. You belong to him. He's given all things into his son's hand, and Christ was obedient to everything the Father called him to do. Grow up, build up, and wise up. May God give us grace to increase. To increase in wisdom and unity. To increase in kingdom work. To increase in God's wisdom and understanding of who you are in Christ. That we would be willing to be fools in the eyes of the world so that we can have the wisdom of God. Let's stand together. I want to encourage you this morning to respond in faith and obedience to the Word of God. There might be somebody watching online or in the room today who's never been born again. You cannot have life apart from Christ. And when I say that you must be born again, I mean that you have to personally make a decision to turn away from sin and unbelief. We call that repentance. You change your mind. You turn away from sin, you turn away from unbelief, and you make a decision, I want to follow God. That's repentance. And belief, not just believing that Jesus existed, that the Romans killed him, but trusting with all your heart that he died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose again. Repent and believe the gospel. And the Word of God says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord today, be saved. Have that foundation laid in your life, and then grow up and build up and wise up for his glory. If he's convicting your heart, please respond in obedience to faith. Trust him as your Savior. Follow him in baptism, identifying with Christ publicly. Whatever he's convicting you to do, you come right now. Come right now while we sing.